Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the some differences between carnal or material mind and divine mind. In this show, we will discuss the old statement, if you don't mind, it doesn't matter, in relation to forsaking mortal thinking for divine knowing. Listen as we explore this statement, can a mind free itself from its own creation, by Jay Krishnamurti. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance to get the light in your soul and realize the unreality of the mind-body complex. Swami, I see the title of today's show is When Mind Doesn't Matter. So there's a few things here. Which mind are we talking about, and why would it matter or not matter?
One of the main reasons for this topic is to try and establish some form of clarity with exactly what you're talking about. What mind are we talking about? Because there's really only one mind. And what we're calling mind, our ability to form thoughts and opinions based on the testimony of our corporeal senses, the concept of the human brain thinking, isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about the one mind, the absolute, the perfection of being. All of these other terms that we're using and we get confused by and everything else, we want to start to unbox them so that we understand that there is a difference between thinking with a five-sense mind and thinking with divine mind, which is the only mind.
Let's break that down some more. So when we're talking about the statement, when mind doesn't matter, let's talk how that is in relationship to this mortal mind you're talking about, thinking with the five-sense mind.
Well, the five-sense mind matters. The five-sense mind is what creates this experience that we call life today that isn't real. That's what I want to start to build on, is what does it look like when mind doesn't matter and we're able to think with pure consciousness that isn't conditioned and it isn't adulterated, it isn't divided, it's complete, it's fulfilled, it's whole.
So when we're talking about this divine mind, we're talking about a mind we can't access with our mortal mind, though, is that correct?
Yeah, that's what we have been saying. The five-sense material mind can't bring forth the divine image. It's the concept of trying to get your email with a calculator. And so how do we graduate from thinking with our five corporeal senses to knowing this truth that Scripture is telling us about? Because there's a huge difference between the two experiences. One is proving the presence of the divine creation, the perfection of being. And the other one is stuck in the law of karma, the cycle of death and rebirth, believing in two powers instead of one power. And then starting to understand that it is my belief in these two powers that is actually creating the illusion of my separation from the perfection of being.
Now, what you're describing, does that have something to do with the fact that we know that we only use a very small portion of our brain, our mind?
Well, for me, yeah, that's exactly what it is. The problem with that is it's become such an accepted limitation. We all assume that that's the best that we can do with what we have. And so what we're trying to do is break beyond limiting concepts, those theories that have been restricting the human experience for all of these years.
Well, can we talk about that statement now? If you don't mind, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're learning the difference between mind individualized by world thought disguised as me, and mind with a capital M coming forth as I, moving beyond this personal sense of self that is accepting to be a mortal, finite being with a beginning and an end, and then graduating to accepting spiritual identity, where you understand yourself to be limitless, to be eternal, to be the one I, the I of all being, the one divine life, which is under the divine law of creation, the law of perfect harmony, eternal life. And so graduating from thinking with our five corporeal senses and reacting to what is appearing in our five senses and accepting life is perfect and knowing there is absolutely no way your life can be anything less than perfect, because the only power, the only self-existent power in this universe is spirit, the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence. And even though that's 180 degrees from the way that we're socialized, the way that we think if I can feel it, see it, touch it, taste it, smell it, hear it, it's real. Now we're learning that is the false sense. What is materializing as matter is a mental image. But one of the questions that we have here is, what is a mental image in a spiritual universe? Because when spirit becomes cause, when spirit becomes the foundation of reality, spirit translates everything back to itself. And when you have the beginning and the understanding that spirit is perfect, there's nothing that ever needs to be added to it or taken away, we get away from trying, striving, struggling, planning, preserving, and we rest in the perfection of being. Rather than thinking and trying, we just watch and we wait. We make our mind an avenue of awareness for this divine mind, which doesn't matter. It doesn't report in our corporeal sense mind, in the material senses. And in silence and in stillness, we watch and we wait and we let it reveal itself to us. Because when spirit is cause, creation is perfect.
Well, so let's talk about that a little bit more and put it into some kind of practical application. Let's just say, for example, I go outside, I get a sunburn. You're saying this life is perfect, but I see that I have a sunburn. So how can I use what you're saying? How can I apply it so that this perfection will show itself as unburned skin?
Yeah, I think what we're talking about here is that statement J. Krishnamurti gave us, can a mind free itself from its own creation? The entire physical world is a mental image. But the more divinely mental the image, the more harmonious and indestructible it's going to appear. Now, most of our thinking with our five corporeal senses has been so conditioned with our socialization, with all of our human theories, concepts, beliefs, and it's supported by the media so that we are always inundated with these limitations, reminded to protect yourself against the sun, protect yourself against all of these opposing forces that are out there. Now, all of this is a creation of the mortal mind. It's not the divine creation. And so we're tempted to react to the testimony of our senses. Now, the major thing that you want to learn here is what we had said before when Mary Baker Eddy says, for Jesus to walk on water is science. But before poor humanity can walk on water, it's not wisdom or science for them to step out onto the Atlantic. So this isn't something that you're going to tempt your fate with your belief in God, because it will fail. We have to graduate from believing in all of these conditions, and then we have to graduate to starting to have faith in the divine creation, the perfection of being, until it starts to reveal itself to us by proving its presence. To be able to go outside and to know that there is no danger, there could never be any danger. And to start to live under the influence of your understanding of your spiritual awareness puts you out of the law of karma, which is the belief in two powers, and lifts you into the divine law, which is the belief in the understanding of one power. Now, until you are accomplished in that, I would recommend that you put sunblock on. But the thing that we're starting to learn, this isn't just another concept or another theory or another belief. This is a demonstrable principle. This is a law. If we are consciously attuned to it, then we're under the protection of it. Now, where everything is going to fail is exactly where J. Krishnamurti leaves us, where he says, can a mind free itself from its own creation? This world that they talk about in the Bible is a mental image. It is a creation of a divided consciousness. It's the shadow of the divine mind. It's the shadow of the truth of being. It's a reflection. It's not what's real. Now, we have to learn how to come out of the belief in that, and at the same time, to establish our sense of well-being based on a relationship with what is real, eternal life, perfect life.
Taking the example that I gave you, I do go outside, but I don't put on the sunscreen, but I have this burn. How is it that I can have a healing with what we're talking about here today?
Well, to answer your question, I really like what Mary Baker Eddy said in a paper she wrote, Body, what she said. It seemed a wonderful thing when advanced thinkers began to perceive certain mental laws and to apply them to the healing of the body. This mental teaching is that man is the builder or creator of his body, that he builds or forms his body through his own thought, and that he can change his body by his thought. And therefore that if he has built a sick body with wrong thinking or ignorant thinking, he can build a well body with right thinking, that by his ignorant, inharmonious thought, he prevents God from manifesting. And by his true and harmonious thought, he brings God into manifestation. Of course, this is a great advance over the old drug system, but it doesn't go far enough to satisfy the one who wishes the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It makes the body a battleground for opposing and contending forces, wrong thinking tearing down, right thinking building up, wrong thinking creating disease, right thinking destroying disease and bringing in healthy conditions, for this teaching deals only with the changing conditions of the personal mentality and not the changeless state of being, the changeless mind, the omnipresence. It is better than the old way, but it is a hard way and a way of constant battle between good and evil, of hard work and doubtful results, because it deals with two powers instead of one.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor, so listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga.
It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. You just read some paragraphs from Mary Baker Eddy's, the writing she did called Body. How does that, what you just read, how does that answer my question of earlier?
Well, I think most of us are accustomed to working with our five-sense mind and belief, trying to do a lot of work with positive thinking. But what we don't understand is that creates an interference pattern with the divine creation, divine mind, or what the Bible called the Word of God. And in order for us to be more attuned to the divine idea, we have to stop thinking, forming thoughts and opinions based on the information that's coming in through duality or our five senses, and start to think differently, using our awareness to invite divine mind, the Word of God, into our consciousness. And when divine mind takes over the scientific government of being, then it must externalize as a correction, what we would call a healing or a miracle, because the physical world is a mental image. But the more divinely mental the image, the more harmonious and indestructible it will appear. Consciousness is experience. Like we had said earlier, if we're not consciously attuned to the divine idea, we're going to be unconsciously attuned to the world thought. And the world thought is this false creation, this secondary creation, this recreation. We are calling life, but we're dying. We can't bring forth the divine image with this mind that is working on duality. And so a big part of what we're talking about is how to come out of that mind, how to let this divine mind express itself through us.
Well, I think we can look at our notes, and I see that we have something to contemplate by J. Krishnamurti. Do you mind reading what we have here for notes from him?
Yeah, this was from a website that I found, and he says, is the entity that desires to free the mind from conditioning different from the mind itself. If it is different, the problem of effort and the action of will come into being. Is the I, the thinker, the person who says, I am conditioned, and I must be free, and the I who makes an effort to be free, is that I, that will, that desire different from the conditioned state? Please, this is not complicated. You are bound to ask yourself this question when you look at the problem. Am I, who wishes to free myself from conditioning, different from the conditioning? Or are they both the same? If they are the same, which they are, then how is it possible for the mind to free itself from conditioning? He then asks this question. So is there a part of the mind not conditioned, which can take over, control, or destroy the conditioned mind? And I worked with this for quite a bit, meditating on what he's talking about. I was really intrigued by, can a mind free itself from its own creation? And the more I measure this up against what I've been learning in Revelations in the Bible with the dragon and two beasts, or Ida Pingala Sushumna in yoga that creates this veil preventing us from seeing the creative principle, the divine mind, the one mind of this universe that is running a perfect universe. It's right here, it's right now, but it's going to be before our mortal thoughts, and it is going to be above corporeal sense. In our awareness of the invisible, intangible divine mind, in silence and in stillness, we invite it into our awareness. Now, what's interesting about this mind that doesn't matter? One of the terms Joel Goldsmith uses in some of his teachings is nothing eyes. And I really like the term that Mary Baker Eddy uses about spiritualizing thought, because a lot of us use these terms, but we really aren't proving the presence of the divine creation. But we talk about it. And the whole important message of the Christ, which is the saving aspect of truth that reveals the divine creation to human consciousness, is demonstration. The message of the Christ is heal the sick, reform sinner, raise the dead. To me, that's what is meant by preaching the gospel. Spirit testifies with deeds, not words. But until we can prove the presence of this divine creation, we talk about it. And in the framework of talking about it, we're developing what was called the letter of the truth. It's kind of like using a map to get you to a certain location. The map won't equal the destination, but the map will be very helpful in enabling you to get to exactly where you want to go. And so trying to unbox the language, the terminology, is where we are right now. But these are important signposts. This is important information that we're getting from these teachings that are out there to help us demonstrate the presence of the divine creation and not just talk about it.
So I'd like to talk more about the example I gave you about the sunburn. So are we looking at that as a mental image in the mortal universe? How can I change that to be an image in the spiritual universe?
Well, I think we start with a shift in our perspective. I am not sunburned. I appear to be sunburned. This condition that I find myself in is not a divine creation, is not backed by divine law. It is a mental image, is my thought about what's here. Now, as you start to resolve things into thoughts, you're looking at a condition, at least now you're loosening it. You're not accepting it. It's not a complete denial of what's going on, but it's an understanding of exactly what it is and how it got there. It got there because I believe I could get sunburn. I believe I am a physical body. Now, as my identity begins to shift from material to mental and then eventually to spiritual, can spirit be sunburned? Can God ever be sunburned? As you work with that and you start to understand yourself not to be the physical body or even the mental image, but that you are the eternal spiritual being, this starts to change what is appearing as a physical body, because consciousness is experience. But it's not going to be just a denial. I'm not sunburned. You really have to be able to prove this. I've read a lot about people that read Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. They went to the medicine cabinet, they had a revelation, and they threw out all of their medications, and they were fine. But then there were a lot of people who read about the people that had the revelation, and they, without the revelation, go to the medicine cabinet and throw out their medications. There's no power in throwing out your medications. And what we're learning is there's no power in a mortal mind. This revelation is when you have finally come out of the belief that I am a finite mortal being. The truth has dissolved the belief that I am vulnerable. But until you really experience that, like I said, we're sunblock.
If I look at my arm and I see that it's sunburned, I should look at that and then realize I just demonstrated my sense of separation with spirit.
And it's my belief I am this finite, physical, mortal being that is keeping me in this law of karma, the belief in two powers. Because in the belief in one power, you now rose into the belief in the divine law, which doesn't have any opposition to it. There is no evil. There is no death. There's no sickness. God did not create any of those things. And as long as I am conscious of that and I don't react to the testimony of my senses, with practice and with understanding, that I think is the most important thing, knowing that my life can be nothing less than perfect.
Well, I'd like to go back to that phrase by Krishnamurti, can a mind free itself from its own creation? Can you give us more information about that? Give us another summary for it.
Yeah, mortal man is a prisoner of his own mind. And so can a mind free itself from its own creation? Can the unreal ever become real? Or do we just stop believing, thinking, feeling, trying, and begin knowing the truth? Life is perfect. And the way that we do this is by forsaking our modes of mortal thinking, forming thoughts and opinions based on information coming through our corporeal senses, cultivating spiritual sense, being able to see the divine creation. In our silence and in our stillness and in our fidelity to the divine creation, it begins to reveal itself to us. It corrects our thought and it exchanges the objects of sense for the divine idea. What we work with is what's appearing in my five senses, how I'm thinking, and of course, this attunement to the divine idea, until eventually all three of them line up. Because if you're conscious of the divine idea, the truth of being, then you must externalize the fruits of the spirit. There can't be sunburn in the divine creation. There can't be sickness, suffering, disease. There's no death. As this truth becomes your reality, like anything else, you just get better and better and better at it. At first, working under your spiritual senses is uncomfortable. It's awkward. It's unfamiliar. It's 180 degrees from what we're accustomed to doing. We're using personal will, positive thinking. And we're finding that there's huge limitations to all of these concepts and theories. And now we're starting to move to spiritual understanding. And in order for us to start to open these channels of communication, we start to understand ourselves in the way that we were created and not in the way that we know ourselves when we're left to our own devices, the corporeal senses.
Well, we do have to start closing down our show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. When you're on the homepage and the fading banner comes up with Blog Talk Radio, if you click that, that directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And then don't forget, clicking the Products tab and Online Classes directs you to all the classes that Swami has available for you. With that, Swami, have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to invite people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and realize the unreality of the mind-body complex. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.